Please be seated. The framers of our lectionary can sometimes leave you scratching your head. Sometimes it is hard to understand what they had in mind when choosing the readings that we have each week. But then again, there are other times that you realize they are no dummies. And this particular parable of the talents comes at this particular time of year because it's a time of year when most churches are in the midst of their stewardship campaigns, just like we are. And this can be a great text about stewardship. It gives the preacher another chance to bring up that money thing without seeming too pushy. But I promised you only one stewardship sermon per year, and I have already given mine, even though we are only about halfway to our budget goals for next year. And besides, while this text might make a good stewardship sermon, I'm not really sure that it's the point. This parable of the talents is pretty straightforward. A man is going to leave on a journey, and he entrusts his servants with different portions of his property. They are to look after that property and to ensure that it continues to work for the master, and then it continues to make a profit while he's away. What goes unnoticed with just a superficial reading of this text is the enormity of what is entrusted to these slaves. I've read before that 10 talents was equivalent to 30,000 shekels of silver or 60,000 denarius, which would be the equivalent of about 165 years of wages. And even that one talent servant was entrusted with the equivalent of 15 years of work. Now, not being a Hebrew economist, I really don't know if that's true. But I know the point is true, and the point is that these servants were entrusted with enormous wealth. Two of the servants double the investment and are richly rewarded for doing so, but the third gains nothing from it for the master. All he does is keep what he is given safe, burying that money so no harm might come to it. And the lesson, of course, from the parable is to not bury your treasure. Don't bury your talent. And here, one could insert a good stewardship sermon. But remember, I said I wasn't going to preach another one, despite only being about halfway to our budget goal. Because you see, I really think this text has more to do with who we are. Who we are as individuals, who we are as a church, how we view God, and our willingness to risk whatever it takes to become the people that we'd like to be. And at its very essence, I guess I believe this is a text about fear. There's a poem that I've saved for several years, and the source is unknown, but the poem is entitled Free. Listen to it. To laugh risks appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. And to try is to risk failure. But risk must be taken because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing does nothing, has nothing, and is nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, and live. Chained by their attitudes, they are a slave. They have forfeited their freedom because only a person who risks is free. That's our gospel for today. It is a message about being enslaved or being free. about being cautious or daring to risk. And as hard as I've tried not to make it, it really is a message about stewardship. But not so much the stewardship of money. The real emphasis, I think, is our stewardship of the gospel. A gospel that calls us to risk loving, even though we might get hurt. To risk reaching out to another, even though we might get rejected. And to risk the walk with Christ, even though sometimes we might fall down. And this parable of the talents is not just a lesson about our degree of ability or productivity. It's a lesson about our attitude and our responsibility and about our fears and about our trust. It is a lesson about stepping out with God's treasure, the gospel, in our hands and risking it for the sake of God and for our own sakes, about really daring to love, really daring to care even when the conditions don't seem right for it, even though people sometimes don't seem worthy of it, and even though 1,001 bad things just might happen. It is a lesson that perhaps the greatest sin of the church is resting in our own complacency when things are going well and avoiding the risk of continually moving forward toward God's kingdom. The parable of the talents is a lesson that asks each of us to consider, what would the church be like if every member of the church was like me? What would the world be like if every believer believed like I do? What would this community be like if everyone was a steward of the good news just like me? Would our church be empty on Sunday? Or would it be full to overflowing? How many bruised, hurting, lonely people would be touched by the grace of God if every member of the church acted exactly as I do? Would the church just be an attractive social club? Would it be closed? Would it be bankrupt? Would it be out of business? Or would it truly be a dynamic force for Jesus Christ in our community and in our world if everyone were just like me? And if you really want to get down to the nitty-gritty, if everyone were like me, would the people around me be happy, blessed? Or would they always ache for something more, something missing in their lives? And it is there that I think we can come to understand the sin of the third servant. The sin of not daring to risk. The sin of not believing that God will reward all who trust in him. The sin of not trusting the one who gave his life for us to raise us up when we give our lives for him. And the glorious mystery of how all that works, the mystery of the gospel, is simply not entrusted to us to be buried in the ground. It is given to us in order to be risked and invested in those whose paths we cross each and every day. And make no mistake, that's hard. In fact, our greatest spiritual temptation is to be like the bad slave, to be afraid of being bold enough to try something new, to journey a new path, to be scared of investing our gifts given to us, not simply for ourselves, but for a world in need. And that, my friends, is the saddest form of slavery. The words of that poem truly are the message of the gospel. The greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, and live. Chained by their attitudes, they are a slave. They have forfeited their freedom. And only a person who risks is free. And the promise of God is that it's a risk worth taking. God love you. Amen.